This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, July 13th, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. Reforming drug policy is a bipartisan issue, so says Bob Barr, former Republican U.S. Representative and Libertarian Party presidential candidate. He spoke at a Cato Institute Capitol Hill briefing held July 7th, 2009. The full event is at cato.org.
If we were talking about a company, and you had a board of directors or a CEO of a company, a CEO of the company that went back year after year after year after year to his or her board of directors and said, we have as many people that are not buying our products now as before. We haven't been able to increase our bottom line. Our market share continues down. We're spending more money, but keep me in office. Vote me back in as a CEO. Give me more money, and I promise that next time I come before you, we'll show some improvement. You do that year after year after year, and sooner or later, at least prior to the economic and financial environment that we're dealing with, that Washington is dealing with now, that CEO would have been laughed out of there. In the real world out there, if you have a policy that costs more and more and is less and less effective, changes do come. Yet, of course, here in Washington, inside the Beltway, it's a very different world. It doesn't operate that way. But more and more, particularly in these economic times when people are looking very hard at those appropriations and those earmarks, I think it becomes much more important and useful to talk about these issues, for example, in terms of the tremendous cost and the lack of effectiveness. There are indeed very pragmatic reasons to begin what Gil Kerlikowske, the new director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, is finally talking about out there, and that is to change the direction, change the perspective, beginning with the most rudimentary aspects of a policy, and that is how you talk about it. The language that you use, as we know here on the Hill, can frequently dictate your chances for success way down the road. The proponents of the USA Patriot Act were brilliant back in 2001 when they came up with that ridiculous acronym, the Uniting and Strengthening America to Prevent Accidents, and so on and so forth, called down to the USA Patriot Act. How could you not vote against it? Are you unpatriotic? A lot of the chances for eventual success in a piece of legislation has to do with what you do initially to craft your legislation and even to the point of what you call it. And as Director Kerlikowske has indicated, when you go out there and you talk, you characterize something as a war, what do? You immediately cause people to lock into their position. It's a war. We have to do battle. You have adversaries. You have enemies out there, and it's very difficult thereafter to ever move people away from that mentality, that closed mentality. It becomes a question of the art of war as opposed to the art of the possible to get some things done. There may be, though, for your member, your senator, constituencies back home that really don't care what it costs or what the practical problems are. They look at questions of legislation and priorities and appropriations more on principle terms. Here again, the issue of federal drug policy raises some fundamentally important and saleable, understandable issues based on principles of federalism, for example, which everybody talks about but very few people actually practice. These are, in fact, very important concrete principles that you can go to people when you look at the federal drug policy appropriations and legislation and authorities, talk to them in terms of principled arguments, such as issues of federalism and the proper role of government. I think it's also important when we look at this as a practical issue here to realize that we're not going to change it overnight. A lot here, again, of your eventual chances for success for a piece of legislation, whether it's changing an earmark, an appropriation, fundamental authorization for a federal agency or whatnot, it depends on how large a bite do you take. You don't want to take too large a bite, otherwise, the process just can't digest it. So look at it in terms of, what are the issues out there that have the most the strongest legs, the most currency, that aren't understandable to your constituencies out there. The federal drug issue is one that is relatively easy to deal with or identify if you do it right. You recognize, for example, that if you go out there and you immediately, despite maybe a philosophical predisposition to say we ought to legalize a whole range of so-called mind-altering drugs, the fact of the matter is that most people aren't ready to make that step, to make that move, no matter how good a job you do it as salesmanship. But if you go out there and you address your concerns, your proposals, primarily, for example, to young people who understand much more so than folks my generation the issues of medicinal marijuana, for example, it becomes, I think, readily apparent that that is sort of a good point of the spear. That is an issue that has been out there. A number of state legislatures have passed legislation in this area. It's been in the news. Young people understand it much more so than older people. So choose your issues wisely. Do what Gil Kerlikowske has done. Be sensitive to the language that's used. Don't bite off too much at the beginning. Prioritize your issues. And then it comes back to credibility. And here again, what we're trying to do is build credibility for a federal effort. And when you look back at how the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the so-called Drug Czar's office, has behaved in years past, it's very obvious that this is not an office with a great deal of credibility to sell its message. And use that tool to your advantage. And go out there and talk about the manner in which the resources, for example, of ONDCP have been misused in recent years to engage in blatant political activity in violation, in many people's view, of the Hatch Act, for example, to talk about the manner in which the hundreds of millions, if not, I guess, billions of dollars of federal monies have been used for the advertising, the anti-drug advertising message, have been not just squandered and wasted, but misused fraudulently. I mean, there have been criminal prosecutions about 4 or 5 years ago, was it, Tim, with regard to, for example, the ad agency Ogilvy and Mather up in New York that had engaged in fraudulent billing practices in order to inflate the money that it was receiving from the federal anti-drug advertising media campaign. Here again, even if your entree isn't to present a positive reason for people to get on board and start looking at this issue and supporting some legislative and appropriations proposal, you can go out there and you can do it in terms of look at the way the current system has been abused, both in terms of waste of taxpayer dollars, in terms of loss of credibility for law enforcement generally, and has done great injustice to the notion of federalism and so forth. It also, and this is particularly important for our colleagues here today who were over on the Senate side, again, it also points out the importance, and we even on the House side need to be sensitive to this because it's a good argument, the importance of the federal judiciary, that questions probing the views of a judicial nominee with regard to his or her views on issues of federalism, the proper scope of federal authority in the drug area and these other areas is extremely important. I mean, there's only, I think, is there just maybe one remaining justice, Clarence Thomas, who was in the dissent on the Raich case, I think. I mean, there's a lot of work that we have to do up there on the, you know, in the federal judiciary. And this is a very important issue that ties right into the work that we would hope to see also on the House side with regard to reorienting this entire debate to bring credibility back to federal law enforcement and to engage in the sort of, at least at the federal level initially, and I'm delighted that both the mayor and Pat and Tim, all of them have talked about the way federal resources have been misused in moving toward this dramatic militarization of law enforcement. There's a whole, any way you look at the drug issue, on any of these issues, principled or pragmatic or both, there are issues that I think can be taken out and highlighted and used by members of Congress and staff and senators to move this issue forward. It's a great issue. I think the country is ready for it. And I'm delighted that once again, Cato is really taking the lead in getting this issue out there, but there are a lot of other organizations that we need to work with as well. But I appreciate Cato taking the lead, and as always, it's an honor to be part of that process. Thank you.
Bob Barr is a former Republican member of the U.S. House and a former Libertarian Party presidential candidate. You can hear and watch the full event at cato.org.